The very beginning of the story of Noah is Vitashachet Haaretz Lifnei Hashem. The earth was corrupt before God. Now, how does the earth become corrupt? Inanimate objects don't sin. Even though we sometimes say that, I mean, there's a famous bestseller written by Pearl Buck called The Good Earth, but the earth isn't good or bad. It just is. It's true. If you're walking along and you stub your toe on a chair, you say, stupid chair. But you know it's not a stupid chair. It's a stupid toe. Because I've never seen an intelligent chair. And I've never seen a bad earth. But it starts off by saying explicitly the earth is corrupt. And by the way, we have a name for that. It is called in literature the pathetic fallacy. It's when you ascribe human characteristics to things that aren't human. But presumably, the Bible must intend more, or at least we can see more, than just this common way of speaking that's intended to tell us that the people were corrupt. Why does it phrase it that way, v'tishachei ha'aretz, that the earth itself is corrupt? Let's go to last week. Because remarkably, according to the Midrash, it's actually the earth that first sins against God. Not Adam and Eve. The earth beat us to it. Because during creation, God says, V'tadshe ha'aretz deshe. And tadshe and deshe are the same root. So the only real way to translate that is, the grass shall grass forth. But the earth doesn't do that. It later on says, V'totse ha'aretz deshe. Grass sprouted forth, but God didn't ask for grass to sprout. God asked for grass to grass. And it didn't. And so the Midrash says, you see, the earth sinned before people sinned. And if you try to figure out what does it mean that the earth sinned, and how can grass sin, there is a beautiful answer from Rav Kook, who points out that this is not the only sin of the earth in the creation story. It says, just a little while later, Eitz pri oseh pri. A pri is a fruit. An eitz is a tree. So Eitz pri is a fruit tree. Oseh shall make fruit. Pri. Eitz pri oseh pri. A fruit tree shall make fruit. But when, that's God's command, but when it does it, it says, Eitz oseh pri. We lost a word in there. Instead of doing what God said, the fruit tree shall bear fruit. What happens is the tree bears fruit. So why isn't it called a fruit tree anymore? What's the sin here? And according to Rav Kook, the sin is that the way God intended it, there is no real separation between the material world and the spiritual world. The tree is material and the fruit is spiritual. God wanted everything to be fruit. God wanted the tree to be a fruit tree and for the fruit to be fruit. But instead, go taste a tree. It tastes like bark and not like fruit. Because in the world that we live in, there is a separation between the physical and the spiritual. The earth is corrupt. It's debased. It's not spiritual. A couple hundred years before Rav Kook, the Maggid of Mezrich explained it this way. He said, the sin of the earth being corrupt, and the thing that brought on the flood was that people preferred the earth to heaven. They were sunk in the physical. They were materialists. They didn't give the spiritual equal attention. And I say equal attention and not greater attention. Because you know, in the Jewish tradition, material itself isn't necessarily bad. There's nothing wrong with having enough to eat and having a roof over your head. Those are good things, not bad things. But, interestingly, exactly those things are also sins in the Torah. Where is food a sin in the Torah? Remember the story of the quail in the desert? Food was a sin. Because the Jews were greedy. They weren't grateful. They didn't take the manna and bless God. They wanted something else, something different. And material became a sin in the absence of the spiritual. Where is shelter a sin? Do you remember that the Torah talks about a leprous house, a house that literally has a disease? And the cure for that is prayer. The priest comes in and by prayer cures the house. In other words, give that house an infusion of the spiritual and the material will be cured. It will no longer be corrupt. There is materialism that serves heaven and materialism that pushes heaven away. We got a lot of material. I'm not just talking about as a society, although that is certainly true. I'm just talking about us. We are materially extraordinarily blessed. But it is up to each individual and each family to ask themselves, does this first line of Noah apply to me, v'tishachet ha'aretz, that the earth is corrupt? Does my materialism serve something higher than itself? Does my money go only to my pleasure or also to tzedakah? Does it serve something spiritual as well as material? When the time comes, do I use my resources to give my child a sports car or a Jewish education? Do I teach them that what matters is material alone? Or do they see me use my material to support the spiritual? Remember what happens in the story of Noah. God eventually decides that a world of material alone isn't worth existing. And the entire world is destroyed. Let's make that in microcosm. A life of material alone isn't worth living. To have things is not bad, but to have alone, only to have, to not aspire, to not yearn, to not help, to not grow, to not give, is corrupt. The remarkable part of the Noah story is that at the very end there is a rainbow, and God promises that God will never destroy the world again. But there's a promise that God doesn't make. God doesn't say that we won't destroy ourselves. We still are given the ability to destroy ourselves as individuals, as families, as a community, and in this nuclear age, even as a world. Because material can be destroyed. And the only thing that lives forever is the spirit. Shabbat Shalom.